Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Doris Howe, author of The Shaws Multiplied, shares a deep understanding of how people's behavior can pass down generations. We are all descendants of Adam and Eve. God told Abraham that he and his wife's descendants would outnumber the stars in the sky and the grains on the sand of the seashore. Doris's mother was one of 10 children of Douglas and Amanda Shaw, and at last count, they have 133 living descendants. The Shaws Multiplied briefly tells stories of the lives, adventures, and experiences of some of the descendants of Douglas and Amanda Shaw, some deceased and some still living. The book is described as an invitation to profound self-discovery and heightened self-awareness while delving into the rich tapestry of one's own heritage. Doris is a missionary with Youth with a Mission. Her mission field is in Tyler, Texas, at Loving Alternative Adoption Agency. She's been an adoption caseworker for over 24 years. Her main task is to minister to young women who find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy. She's to love them, educate them, and pray with them. Doris is the author of Adoption Joys, They Expected a Miracle, and Adoption Boys Book 2, Dads Make a Difference. We talked about that with Doris here on This Week in America, and also the author now of The Shaws Multiplied. And we welcome back to This Week in America, Doris Howe. Doris, welcome back. A pleasure to have you back with us on the program.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You are a gifted writer. I always enjoy reading what you've written, and I love what you've done with The Shaws Multiplied. This was an amazing undertaking on your part. As I'm reading, I'm thinking about all the research and the work that went into this, and then to make the story so relatable and so cohesive as you tell the story of the Shaws. Where did this idea begin? How did this idea start with you?
Well, I went to a writing workshop a few years ago, and one of the little classes, the thing I remember that the man said, everyone has a story. And I thought, yes, I have a story.
Yes.
And it's all related from my grandparents and all the times that we had together, memories when the different aunts and uncles and cousins would all descend on the farm where my grandpa and grandma lived. And so that evolved into this book.
You know, it's interesting. Everyone has a story, and I think that's sort of the concept. We're reading about your family and enjoying, and it brings back memories, and it's so relatable. We all have situations like that and family members in the past that we've heard about or we've known and great stories, and you do a remarkable job in telling the story. The book is The Shaws Multiplied by Doris Howe, H-O-W-E. Her website is authordorishowe.com, book available wherever books are sold, and a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's take it back to the beginning. What, like in the 1870s in Nebraska, who were the earliest relatives that you were able to research and to write about?
Well, by the time I was putting this book together, all the aunts and uncles were gone. They were no longer living.
Yes.
And, but there were many cousins. And so that's where I began to get my stories, was through the cousins and the memories that we had of these family reunions. And I learned that my mother had a gift of hospitality. And anytime she heard that some of them were going to be coming to the area there in central Nebraska, she would just open the doors and welcome everybody. And that was a trait that came also down to me, which I love to do, and my daughter. So we all just can't wait to have a group in our house.
Well, it's interesting.
A reunion.
Well, yes, that you're born to be a hospitable person, to be a welcoming person. And it's interesting, I mentioned the work that you're doing. We've talked about it on the program before, for years in working with young women. Talk about that dedication to serving God, to serving children as you have. Is that another trait passed down from your mother?
I don't. My mother was a teacher, and
yes,
maybe that was part of it. because I did become a teacher as well. I don't know. That was one of the traits that came down. But I think, too, that my dad's sense of humor was definitely shows up when I reread this book.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
He described as the cowboy Pied Piper. Talk about your dad. Everybody loved your dad. Loved to go and spend summers on the farm with your dad and ride the horses. Talk about your dad and the impact he had on you and other family members.
Well, my daughter loves horses, and she always relates the fact that she learned all that from her grandpa. And that was one of the things that she always looked forward to, and now has her own horses, and always remembers her grandpa and how they would go for rides on their horses. And there was one particular one where he said he had a nickname for each of his grandchildren, and he called her Scrub, and he said, "Scrub, go yonder." So she moves aside. He took out his pistol and shot a rattlesnake in the head. And, of course, she remembers that,
oh, yes.
Of course, definitely. And but that, you know, that was just one of the things. But one of the things that really showed his personality and his love for his grandkids is that our son Jeff was there and had been sent to the hen house to gather eggs. And that the hen house was just on a little slope, and coming back down with all of the eggs, he tripped and fell. Well, that gave scrambled eggs a good beginning, but Grandpa didn't say, "Oh, you're stumbling again," or you know, no, he said, "Oh, those shoes just don't fit you anymore. Come on, we're going to town and get you some new cowboy boots." And, you know, that is, well, he would remember that all of his life. And every year, that was part of the visit, was go in and get some cowboy boots that fit you. And so that, you know, that was just another example of his,
yes,
his personality and his unconditional love for all these kids.
I love that story. He thinks he's getting in trouble, and he got boots out of it, and got boots every year out of it as he grew out of those, and then into new ones. Doris Howe is our guest on the program, Howe. If you're going to look it up online, her website, very simple, authordorishowe.com. This book is The Shaws Multiplied, and you can link onto our website. You'll find the book, of course, at Amazon, all of the usual places. Our website, thisweekinamerica.us, takes you directly to Doris's website. Talk about the difference for maybe younger people listening. They're talking about family reunions, not something that happened certainly the frequency they had back then. Talk about that, because I can remember our family getting together. It's the one time out of the summer, and cousins were like brothers and sisters to us, weren't they? It was like we looked forward to this, and we would see them for the first 5 minutes, and you think we were together for the last year.
And exactly. We were so excited to even get there because that was once a year when we got to reunite with all those cousins. And we were more like siblings than we were cousins, just because that was a trait that was in the family. And all of the uncles, I recall, were more like brothers than they were relatives, or they really were siblings, and they just got along with each other so beautifully all the time, and they teased each other, and they had nicknames for one another, but they all did it in good humor and love, and that was something that I think, just reviewing these stories and being reminded of their relationship, that's something that is missing today, that people don't get together face to face so much. they have their cell phones in front of them, and that's the way their relationships are built,
yes.
Which are missing. A lot is missing.
There's more to Zoom, isn't there? Or FaceTime. You can actually be with the person and interact with the person and spend time and play and eat and actually grow up with the person and share your lives. It's a fascinating story. The Shaws Multiplied. The book is receiving rave reviews. You'll find it wherever books are sold, and I'll direct you to Doris's website, authordorishowe.com. What was this like for you? How much about your family did you know before you started? And I assume for you this was one of self-discovery as well as you were doing the research and writing this book.
Well, my husband went through law school early in our marriage. And one of the things that I remembered distinctly was a thing they learned in law school the very first day of their classes. And it was, you, as a lawyer, you never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Yes.
And I had my day in court, would you believe? Because we did go to court often with these adoptions. So the lawyer who was supposedly representing the child, he asked me where that child was now, and because he wanted to let everybody know that that child maybe was not in a good place or was not protected or something. So that was my opportunity to just go through in detail all the things that we had done to make the adoption secure, to make it legal, to make it presentable, to make it a part of that new family. And so I was able to just go in great detail. And all the time, this lawyer who had asked that question, I'm sure he was biting his tongue as he remembered that statement that he learned the first day in law school. You never ask a question you don't know the answer to. And because I was able to tell in detail,
yes,
where that child was. And, you know, and I just thought, I didn't become a lawyer, but I remembered that.
Well, yes, being married to a lawyer, it's one of those, it's a trait that rubbed,
yes,
off on you, and you remembered that, and it came to your benefit in that particular situation.
Yes. Doris,
yes. Howe, our guest on the program, H-O-W-E, back with us on the program, talking today about The Shaws Multiplied, the book available wherever books are sold, and you can link onto our website, and of course, go to Doris's website as well. We'll give you that before we end up concluding the program today. Let's talk about family involvement, because you had family members, you asked family members for their participation in this as well. So this really was a family project, wasn't it? You were spearheading it, but you were including the thoughts and the memories of others in the family.
Yes, and we had some families were in Montana, many in different areas of Nebraska, some in Illinois. And but when this idea of this book came to me, I just thought, okay, we got lots of cousins out there, and they all have different memories. And so I am going to question them about,
yes,
their memories and the good times that they had as part of this family. And I got some that were lengthy and some that were very, very short. But I think two people often when they're asked to do something like this, then the first thing that comes to their mind is, oh, not me. I'm not a writer. I don't know. And so they either ignore it or just write down some little short thing that doesn't make an impact.
Yes.
But yeah, but I had one nephew who wrote probably the best story. And I just thought, what a talent. And when I first got his back, I just thought, oh my gosh, he should have written the whole book, because the talent was just so obvious in his story. But he didn't. But he's obviously very talented. And that's one thing that I wanted I wanted to emphasize was the different traits from the family that are included in this book by the people telling their memories of growing up with the Shaws.
If somebody is listening and thinking, boy, this is something, I really admire what Doris has done, the effort that that she's put into this and the remarkable findings that she's come up with, as well as the warm memories from all of the years. If someone's thinking, boy, that's got to be a lot of work, I talk about the research. I would assume research would be easier today than probably ever before. You have all these different outlets. You can go online and get information. You can communicate with family members worldwide and not have to wait till after 5 o'clock to make a long-distance call. How difficult is it, would it be for someone to start and do a project like you did with the Shaws?
Well, I think in my case, I just felt like it was sort of an assignment from God.
Yes.
And, you know, in that case, I had good help because,
yes.
And I've learned over the years too, that really the Holy Spirit is my co-author. And whenever I need to write something or use somebody's story or elaborate on it, I always invite the Holy Spirit to just be there with me and help put the words together. And so for those reasons, it's never overwhelming a job. I've got the best help.
If you're going to have a co-writer, that's who to have as a co-writer. And I can tell the joy in your voice and the passion for what you've done and the lessons that you learned that you're passing on to others, not just members of the Shaw family, but all of us, to go back and look, as I mentioned, at the tapestry of our lives and go back generations and see how traits have been passed down. It really is a job well done. Doris's other books, and I mentioned we've talked about these, Adoption Joys, They Expected a Miracle, and Adoption Joys Book 2, Dads Make a Difference, and both those books available, still in print and available, of course, at Doris's website, which is authordorishowe.com. Let's talk a little bit about what you hope is the takeaway as people read this story and smile and go through what your family went through and share the downtimes as well, the sorrows that they had. What do you hope the takeaway is? What's the motivation for a reader after they finished reading The Shaws Multiplied?
Well, I think as even in my introduction and in my conclusion to the book, I just do mention many times the connection with our Savior. And our grandmother, Amanda Shaw, her dad was a traveling preacher on horseback.
Oh, yes.
And he went from place to place. And then my grandpa, Douglas Shaw, he was a strong Baptist. And I know that he prayed for the whole family. And you know, it was evident. And it was evident in the lives of the people who did contribute to the book, that, you know, they had that strength from the great grandparents,
yes,
basically. And
all look at our family situations, we can see similar situations, certainly relate to what Doris writes about in her book, and we look for those connection in ours. How enlightening was it when you started looking and you realized that these traits, personality, it really is passed down from generation to generation? Were you able to visually see that as you're going down and you know these people and you're realizing, okay, that's where my cousin got this particular quality about him. That's where where I got this particular quality. What was it like in discovering that as you were going through the family history and writing this?
Well, I do recall that my mother, I mentioned, was a teacher. And so she just did that, used that trait. I had two sisters, and the three of us were quite close. and when in age. And so here we were, and my dad and all of his brothers, they always kept a bottle of Jim Beam on hand in case one of the brothers would come by, they could have a little snort. Well, so anyway, my mother sat us down at the kitchen table, the three of us girls, and she had that bottle of Jim Beam, and she had three water glasses. And she said, now that you're in high school, she said, your friends are going to want to, are going to start to drink some alcohol. And they're going to try to encourage you to do that. But I want you to know what that's going to be like. So she poured some globs of that alcohol yes. into these water glasses and passed one to each of us girls. And she said, yeah, go ahead, take a drink. And, you know, because you got to know what it's like. And so we did. And as I recall, it was probably right before lunch. So we had empty stomachs. And we did take a gulp of that stuff. And it sort of splashed in that empty stomach. And it stung all the way down. And we, you know, we just, that was a vivid example of what that was going to be like and of my mother's teaching traits, gift that she had. And as a result, none of the three of us ever became drinkers. And I'm sure that if it was ever presented to us, we would recall how it splashed in that empty stomach and burned all the way down.
And see, you're pouring that yellow glob into the glass in front of you. I'm sure that's a vision that all three of you will carry with you for the rest of
for
your
sure.
lives. Yes, and a lesson learned. Your mother was a very wise person. Doris, it's always a pleasure having you on the program. Fun learning about your family, how the traits have been passed down, and fun for all of us to go back to those times, for many of us with the reunions and the families getting together and the closeness of the family and that bond and the characters in the family and talking about all the stories. And one that jumped out is the female in the clan that felt frustration because she was a 1950s housewife with a heart of a novelist, and you think about how far we've come and what things were like and how much talent we had that really was untapped with especially the female population back then. You talk about the boys going off to war, the younger family members, and what the women had to go through, including childbirth at home, and the kids being out and playing in the outdoors, didn't have a screen to look at. Mm-hmm. They went out and looked at a tree and looked at their cousins and played games. It's just such a fascinating read and will bring up memories for all of us. It's a book. I urge you to get it, read it, enjoy it, think about it, and go through that that effort of self-discovery and self-awareness as you read the book. The book is The Shaws Multiplied. Doris Howe is the author. The book is available wherever books are sold. I want to thank OlympusStoryHouse.com for arranging our conversation with Doris on the program today. And, of course, all this and her other books at her website, AuthorDorisHowe.com. The other books, Adoption Joys, The Expected Miracle, and Adoption Joys Book 2, Dads Make a Difference, both books available at Amazon, the usual places, and on Doris's website. We had a chance to talk about those books, and you'll find that in our archives, the video and the audio for that interview. Doris, it's a pleasure. Are you working on anything now so we can talk again?
Well, I am, but I'm not addressing that or making an announcement of it yet because I feel like I don't want to be pressured time-wise.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, and I don't know if this has much to do with it, but about probably 30 years ago, I nicknamed myself Do It Now Doris Howe. And I thought, well, that just describes me because if there's something for me to do, I just get it done. And so probably 6-8 months ago, I was talking with God and reading some scriptures and so forth. And I felt like he said, that's not your name. And I thought, oh, Well, I remember stories in the Bible where he changed the names of different people, and I wonder what name he's going to give me. But that hasn't happened yet. But in his statement about that's not your name, the next statement out of his the next statement for me was, when you call yourself Do It Now, Doris Howe, you're leaving God out of the picture. And I thought, oh. So now I really try to include him in everything and not try to do his job.
Don't get ahead of the game, I guess. Wait for that little tap on the shoulder that your co-writer is ready to get started now. But it is good news that you're working on something, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. Doris, thank you so much for spending time with us today. A real pleasure once again. Thank you.
You are welcome. It's been my pleasure.
The book is The Shaws Multiplied. Our guest is Doris Howe, H-O-W-E. Your website, authordorishowe.com. Of course, you'll find all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you're listening to This Week in America. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.